it is officially summer.
Yay.
Still kind of early summer. Summer brings a lot of wonderful things with it. One of the not-so-wonderful things it brings is wildfires. Last year's wildfire season was particularly brutal and record-setting. In California alone, nearly 2 million acres burned, and more than 18,000 homes were destroyed.
Yeah, and one home that wasn't? Kim Kardashian and Kanye's house. And the reason? Was all about money.
Kanye West and Kim Kardashian paid for their own private team of firefighters.
A team of private firefighters, though, saved Kim and Kanye's $60 million mansion.
Research on this. Private firefighting, it is an actual industry.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Constanza Gallardo. Today on the show, the booming business of private firefighters.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. Now when you go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. Support also comes from Microsoft. Today, innovators are using artificial intelligence to transform how we work, from the way we grow our food to the way we brew our beer. See how AI is empowering business innovators at Microsoft.com/AI.
The private firefighting industry is still pretty new. A lot of the companies are based in California, like Firebreak Protection Systems in Ventura County.
And, you know, these do not look like regular firehouses. There's no, like, big brick building with flags out front or giant red trucks. Firebreak Protection Systems is in a strip mall next to a company that installs skylights.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Come on in.
Thanks. I'm sorry. Are you Ken?
Inside, there's the spacious office and like half a dozen big, beefy firefighter types sitting at these sort of sleek cubicles looking at computer screens. There's pop music playing in the background.
Chris Brandini owns the place. He's a big guy, very strapping, gray hair and mustache, deep tan.
I mean, you guys look like firefighters, but then this looks like a nice, like a startup office.
Right. No, it's totally different than what you get. You know,
Chris used to sell firefighting equipment to homeowners and insurance companies. Things like sprinkler systems, special flame retardant foam. But then, he says, a couple of insurance companies came to him and said, hey, you know a lot about fires, right? So what if we hire you to fight them?
I said, sure. Sounds like, I mean, why not?
In fact, it's the insurance companies that are really fueling the business of private firefighting teams. They started getting serious about it around 20 years ago, when wildfires started getting worse and development in high-risk fire areas really started taking off.
Karen Bradshaw is a professor of law at Arizona State University. She studies wildfires.
So if you think of the outskirts of, for example, Los Angeles, people who are living in the million-dollar homes tend to be those who are tucked into these beautiful forested enclaves.
Suddenly, insurance companies were seeing their most valuable homes regularly at risk of burning down. So they started hiring their own firefighting teams whose job it would be to specifically protect their homes.
Technically, all these places are covered by, like, the city or the city, county, right, or whatever. So why do you guys need to exist?
Lack of resources. There couldn't possibly be enough resources to go to every single house.
Chris now has contracts with several insurance companies and about a dozen employees. And they deploy 3 fire trucks.
Which don't really look like fire trucks.
No.
They're kind of small, like an SUV.
Yeah, just like a regular truck.
Yeah, but they're equipped with hoses and a 250-gallon tank of water. And Chris and one of his employees, Ryan Barbie, gave us a little tour of the truck.
So all your equipment's back here, your pack, your helmets.
There's like a laptop, like right in your truck where the passenger side would be.
Yep.
And it's like this huge map.
Yep. So all these little green dots you see on this map are all our houses that we take care of.
Green dots are the ones that you cover?
Oh, there's green, there's yellow. They're different insurance companies.
When a fire breaks out, Chris and his team will get a call over the radio.
That'll show us exactly where the fire is.
Did you just hear that?
What does it say?
This is a vegetation fire.
Okay, this is just coming up on your phone.
Just came up.
This is on an app.
Yeah. Should you hear on rice? You hear? You just said it's on rice.
Turns out they didn't need to respond. The fire was already being taken care of. But when they do need to respond, Chris and his team will spring into action, drive up to the area near the fire, find the houses they are responsible for, the green and yellow dots, and do something he calls a hot lap, which involves going around the house and clearing away all the flammable brush and spraying special flame retardant foam around the house.
If the fire comes closer to the house, Chris and his team will fight the fire, sometimes alongside the publicly funded guys, using most of the same equipment firefighters do. Big jacket, helmet, axe, first aid kit.
You know, pocket snacks, man, they get you through the day.
Is that right? Is that like important, the pocket snacks?
Oh yeah, sometimes when you go to a fire, we were 42 hours or something like that. We were out on...
Yeah, we were 42 hours, came home, showered, shaved, slept a couple hours, came back out.
Just like the publicly funded guys. But there is one major difference. If a house is not one of the green or yellow dots on Chris's computer screen, they leave it alone.
Like I said, if the house isn't on my list, I'm not going to go there. It's tough. It's tough, I think.
Chris is quick to say that the insurance companies have sent them to trailer parks to fight fires there, also to very modest homes. It's not just giant mansions they're protecting. And he says they'll often protect homes in the immediate vicinity of the insured homes because, you know, if those homes catch fire, it threatens the insured home. And he says he and his team have saved a lot of houses.
We figured we'd save somewhere around 21 houses over the last few years.
You have?
Yeah, without it, there would have been millions of dollars less out of their pocket, so...
That would be the pockets of the insurance companies.
Chris won't say exactly how much he gets paid from an insurance company, but he says it's in the tens of thousands of dollars a year, but definitely less than half a million.
We did get that much out of him.
While that may seem like a lot, insurance companies have clearly decided that it's cost effective for them to hire Chris and his team, especially if they're going to be saving these multi-million dollar mansions.
Karen Bradshaw of Arizona State University says that with more and more pricey homes being built in these high-risk areas next to forests and wilderness, hiring private firefighters is probably going to continue to be cost-effective for insurance companies.
The reason being that wildfire risk is still quite small, and the value of these homes and the number of these homes is really quite large.
Chris says he's already seen his industry grow a lot just in the last couple of years.
I mean, we pulled up to this one house and there was four or five different private agencies sitting there. Everybody's in different houses. It was pretty wild. Never seen that before.
Oh, you're like all the trucks are sitting in front of the houses they're protecting?
Yeah, yeah. So we're rolling up and looking at our houses and there's one of them. And I'm like, where are you guys from? And they're from all over the world.
Were they also all working for insurance companies?
Yes.
But now it's not just the insurance companies. Individuals have started hiring private firefighters, too. Chris says last year, when the fires got really bad, they started getting calls every day from people begging them to come protect their homes.
He had no idea what to charge for that service, so he started calling around to other companies.
For 24 hours, it was like $20,000 or $25,000. It was
just for one, for a year or just for the one?
No, for a day. That was a day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
$25,000 a day.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised because I said, that's a lot.
And this just... doesn't sit very well with a lot of people, right? Karen Bradshaw says we have this idea in the U.S. that firefighters are supposed to be publicly funded. They're supposed to work for the people, protect us all equally, not protect an expensive house over a cheap house or, you know, Kanye's mansion before a trailer park.
And it becomes a real question, which I think is true in so many places in American society where the government has historically provided some degree of provision of a public good like education, but over time, perhaps the government provision of that good has diminished. And amidst that, private solutions like private education come up and people become concerned about the differential income effects that result.
And just as in the case with education, having enough money to get a private service instead of the publicly available service can have life-changing effects.
Take Paradise, the lower-income town in Northern California that was burned to the ground by one of the fires last year. Thousands of residents lost their homes. The whole town was basically destroyed. Meanwhile, Kim Kardashian's home was saved, along with her neighbors' homes. She went on Ellen a few days later to talk about it.
We were fortunate enough and blessed enough, we were able to get private firefighters. They saved our home and saved our neighborhood.
The neighborhood as well.
In gratitude for her home being saved, Kim presented Ellen with a giant check for $200,000, made out to California firefighters. This episode was produced by Constanza Gallardo, fact-checked by Emily Lang, and edited by Patty Hirsch. The Indicator is a production of NPR.